Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
I've left you all behind. Still,
I just go back to this. When you have the right guys and you're made the right way, failure only makes you stronger. Man, you only come back better. I believe that. And unfortunately, I've had a ton of those.
God, what have you done? You're a pink pony girl. You dance at the club, oh mama.
That's Dan Campbell. Man, Dan Campbell loves his guys. Like, I know they lost this past weekend, but I feel like I'd run through a wall for Dan Campbell. Like, I just feel like I would get into it for Dan Campbell.
I can see that. Yeah. I used to feel stronger about that, but I think he cries a little too much now, Mitch.
I'm a crier, and I'm a hugger.
I don't
so
shame
I'm
crying.
I'm good with it.
I do not shame it. Crying, but I think he cries a little too much.
That's fair. My name is Mitch Nellis. He's Tommy Wirtz. We are the Mason Crosby Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Joining us now from 97.1 The Ticket in Detroit, he is Jeff Rieger, familiar name around here, a former teammate here in Milwaukee. Jeff, how are you?
What's up, guys? You guys hit me with a little Chapel Roan. That was very dramatic, the entrance to this segment.
You know, that Dan Campbell brings the drama, Chapel Roan brings the drama. I'm a girl dad, so I know the full library of all the songs, and I just figured that we had to go there this morning.
It's the only way I know about it, but you are right, by the way. You know, when you lose for the second playoff game, we all love Dan Campbell in Detroit, but the crying does get a little old, and blaming himself, it gets a little old. I mean, what about the fans? The fans should cry after blowing that game.
They should, and you talk about blowing that game, so let's start with the loss to the Commanders. It wasn't like the game itself. It just seemed like the whole vibe of, whether it was, nationally people were saying, did the defensive injuries finally catch up to them, which nobody was talking about 2 weeks ago when they held Minnesota to 9 points. So what happened to the Lions against the Commanders?
I think a couple things happened. First of all, the defense before that Minnesota game was giving up like 33 points a game, whether
yes,
it be against like San Francisco or Chicago or whoever. So I think once you played Sam Darnold and you realize like, wow, we held them to 9 points, I think it was kind of like a bastard read because you forgot that Sam Darnold just stunk and your defense truly stinks too. So obviously that came to hurt you. You knew Jaden Daniels, a running quarterback, would hurt the Lions too. But this game was all about offense. Like, I all week I was overconfident. The city of Detroit was overconfident because we didn't think the Commanders' D with that rush defense was going to be able to stop the Lions' offense.
Right.
And they really couldn't. The Lions stopped themselves. They turned over the ball five times. So I think that's the game right there. They were ill-prepared. It was a really bad game plan. I don't know why they didn't run the football more. It was overall, it was bad. It really was.
Yeah, Jeff, Tommy Wirtz here with Mitch today. When you look back at that game or back at this season for Detroit, do you have the attitude of this was the year because of all things lining up? Or do you have the attitude of the year was taken from us because of all the injuries that you ended up suffering with? But now it seems like you're going to lose both coordinators this year that you had on your team. Other coaching staff is getting promoted elsewhere in the NFL. Where does Detroit lie on the Lions that as far as the window to make the Super Bowl?
Well, here's the deal. Like, I think all of Detroit was pretty confident this team could make the Super Bowl. And it's the NFC. The NFC doesn't seem as tough as the AFC teams. And now you look at, like, Jalen Hurts is injured, right? So it would have been a pretty nice matchup to bring Philly to town with an injured quarterback and see if you could maybe beat them for your first ever Super Bowl. So from the start of this thing, Dan Campbell, Brad Holmes, Sheila Ford-Hampf, the owner, they all said Super Bowl or bust. And then you win 15 games, and it doesn't matter because you didn't win a playoff game. Mm. So it's a colossal failure of a season. As far as next year's concerned, I think you guys are on to something. Aaron Glenn more than likely is going to be gone. Ben Johnson is already in Chicago. The relationship Ben and Jared Goff had, I don't think that's easily replaceable. I think the Lions' schedule is very difficult, first-place schedule. The road schedule is brutal. And, yeah, I think they'd probably take a step back. I mean, last year was probably your best chance to go to the Super Bowl because you're up 17 at San Francisco with a half to play in the NFC title game. And, unfortunately, you kind of choked that one away. And then this year you go 15-2. It's the franchise record. Everybody picks you to go to the Super Bowl, maybe win the Super Bowl, and you fall short. And you're right, the defensive injuries are real. At one point, they had 22 dudes on IR. With that being said, they have the best offense in football, and nobody can stop them. So it feels like a truly missed opportunity.
Jeff Rieger, 97.1, The Ticket, joining us here on the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Thunden-Ellis and Tommy Wirtz. Promoting from within, and when Ben Johnson is out the door and Aaron Glenn has a foot out the door, and we're hearing that Detroit's probably just going to, you know, they have, but I know that the Patriots just got one of the defensive guys to be their defensive coordinator. What vibe stays in the building by promoting from within, and are these guys ready for next man up? Are they ready to take control of the offense and the defense and at least show us a semblance of the team that went 15-2 this year?
Well, I think they're going to maybe do a little of each, right? Maybe offensively they'll promote from within, and defensively maybe they go out and get somebody from the outside. I know Robert Saleh's name keeps popping up here, and
saw that.
He's from here. From Dearborn, and my understanding is he wants the job. Now, he interviewed with the Lions for a head coaching job the year Campbell was hired, and something went wrong. I don't know what it was, but either one side, whether it was his side or the Lions side, they didn't like it. Because if you remember back then, Robert Saleh was the guy. All of Detroit wanted Saleh. Made perfect sense because he's a local dude. He was so good defensively in San Francisco. But he was coming off Matt Patricia, so I don't think they wanted to go defense than defense. So maybe Robert Saleh defensively. As far as offensively, I don't know. Here's what I would say, though. Dan Campbell hires these guys. And Dan Campbell, before Ben Johnson was calling plays, Dan Campbell was calling plays. And Anthony Lynn, of course, it's ironic because he just came in and beat the Lions. He's with Washington now, so he's going on to the NFC title game. But Anthony Lynn was the OC, the first OC. And then he was demoted, and then he was fired. And then Dan Campbell's like, listen, we'll just give the job to Ben Johnson, but I'm going to call the plays. And then Ben proved to Dan that he could call the plays, and then here we are. Ben Johnson gets $13 million to go to Chicago. So I do think there's a feeling of comfort that, you know, Dan Campbell hired Ben Johnson. Well, he didn't hire him, but he promoted Ben Johnson. He hired Aaron Glenn, and he hired a bunch of dudes that are leaving. So you get the feeling that he's going to be able to do it again. And worst-case scenario, Dan Campbell's an offensive-minded guy. So if he's forced to call plays, which he did three or four games, and they averaged around 24 points a game without Jared Goff, I think the Lions are going to be okay offensively. But, I mean, I think you're gullible if you think they're not going to take a step back offensively, whether it be the trick plays, whether it be, I mean, you have to probably restock the offensive line a little bit as well. So they got work to do, but I think they got the right man in Campbell to probably get the job done.
Keeping things in the division, Ben Johnson gets the job at Chicago, and we've seen, you know, that's how the natural progression goes in the NFL. Coordinators become head coaches. We've seen a number of them succeed, but we've also seen a number of coordinators not have what it takes to be the head coach, but be great coordinators for their careers. What type of feeling do you get for Ben Johnson? And I guess as Lions fans or Packers fans or even all those miserable Vikings fans, like, do we have to take the Bears seriously at some point during Ben Johnson? I mean, I'm not going to take him seriously next year, but at some point, are we going to have to take the Bears seriously because Ben Johnson's there?
First of all, they got to prove it, right?
Exactly.
They're an incompetent organization, a dysfunctional organization. So Ben Johnson's got to prove that he's the guy that can turn it around. It's a little weird because everything we heard was Ben Johnson wanted full autonomy. He wanted to pick his own GM, and he wanted essentially everything to go through him. And he doesn't have any of that. He's got $13 million, which probably was the deciding factor, right? But like Ryan Poles and Ben Johnson apparently knew each other. They were at a college stop together for a little bit. So he's going there, but I think a lot of people thought he was going to go to Vegas because he could have picked his GM and he could have worked for Tom Brady and he could have drafted a quarterback. Now he is stuck with Caleb Williams, but I think he's happy to be stuck with Caleb Williams because from the get-go we're led to believe that that was the quarterback he's wanted to work with all along. And I do think as good as Jared Goff has been for the Lions, Ben probably looks at Caleb and says, wow, this guy is so good and has such a great raw physical set that I could do stuff with him that I never could think about doing with Jared Goff, a guy that can't run at all and doesn't have the skill set of a Caleb Williams. So I think he will be successful offensively. Can he lead men? Can he set up a coaching staff? I have no idea. Like, let's not forget, a big reason I think why he didn't leave last year was because he didn't know enough people in the NFL to set up a coaching staff. And now, 1 year later, he's in Chicago, and that's a 5-win football team, and it's a really big task to take on to turn things around. So I'm not convinced he's the guy to do it, but he is brilliant offensively. And I don't think you can obviously deny that. The other thing is, how is he going to do when he doesn't have a whole bunch of all pros on the offensive side? You look at Detroit, best offensive line in football. Amon-Ra St. Brown is an all-pro. You got two stud running backs. You got a quarterback that isn't fabulous but plays well within the system. You got an otherworldly tight end. Like, you got a ton of talent. Chicago doesn't have as much. They have to rebuild that entire offensive line. So you wonder exactly how that's going to go and how long it's going to take and how long Chicago is willing to wait. Guys, here's the other thing, and this is totally unrealistic. It's fan behavior, but Detroit now hates Ben Johnson. They call him Benedict Johnson.
Really?
So, and again, I don't think Ben Johnson was distracted by Chicago in that divisional game on Saturday night. I'm sure he was focused, but it's not a great look when you call your worst game offensively in the biggest game of the season, and then 2 days later you're skipping town to go to a divisional rival. Fans here are pissed. They're furious. And listen, they got every right to be because yet again, we're stuck with nothing while Ben Johnson gets at least $13 million out of the deal. So most fans in Detroit, and again, I don't think they're thinking clearly. They think Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn couldn't give a crap about the divisional game against Washington, and they were too focused on the fact that they were getting head coaching jobs. So again, I don't believe that, but it's not a great look when Ben Johnson is allowing Jameson Williams down 10 to throw a football, and he throws the pick, and essentially your chances of going on are flushed down the toilet.
That was bad.
Yep, we're here with Jeff Rieger here of 97.1 The Ticket out in Detroit. Jeff, I have a question here to spin it back to the local scene of Wisconsin, Green Bay, the division. Kevin O'Connell just reached a multi-year agreement over in Minnesota, so that's done. Campbell and Johnson obviously very set. There was a lot of buzz for some reason in the Wisconsin-Green Bay market, I think unjustified, of finding Matt LaFleur's seat warmer this year in some capacity. But I wanted to ask, with Ben Johnson going over to Chicago, Dan Campbell solidified, and Kevin O'Connell as well, is there any scenario where you think that the NFC North might have the four best coaches in the National Football League? And on top of that, do you think that the rest of the division might think that Matt LaFleur is the worst coach in the NFC North?
All right. Well, so first of all, we all have to admit, and you guys are in on this as well, nice job making the playoffs. Detroit, nice job making the playoffs. But the greatest division in the history of football, the NFC North.
Oh, fraud. Yes, fraud.
The biggest fraud you could ever have.
Agreed.
Oh, my God. Right? As far as LaFleur being the worst, my pecking order would be as follows. I still go with the local guy here, Dan Campbell. He's won the division 2 years in a row. I think he's a brilliant guy. I think he's a great motivator, great leader. I mean, he took the job and every other coach before him failed. And he somehow changed the culture. So I go Dan Campbell, number one. I'd probably go Kevin O'Connell number two. The dude won 14 games with Sam Darnold. Like, he should get a Lombardi for that in itself. That is quite the accomplishment. And then, I go LaFleur three, and then Ben Johnson has to prove it. But if the Chicago Bears make the playoffs, coming off a five-win season, if they go all Washington Commanders on you, and Caleb looks like a man reborn, and that offense is unstoppable, and they already have a respectable defense, then yes, I think people could maybe say LaFleur is the worst, but, I mean, it's got to happen first. So I would say LaFleur three, and then probably Ben Johnson four. He's got to prove it. I mean, is that wrong, do you think?
No, I think it's fair to say Ben Johnson has to prove it, for sure. You know, but LaFleur is a coach that has made it to a championship game. I know it wasn't recently with his current quarterback, but again, LaFleur has had 2 years of Jordan Love and 2 years of postseason berths as well, with a playoff win on top of it. I don't want to say that I put him that low on the list because of his performance. I think his competition makes him go lower on that list. So that's where I wanted to see if gauging outside the market, if that seems to be perceived as well. Because if Matt LaFleur would have got fired this offseason, which wouldn't have happened, but if he would have got fired, do you think he would have been a bigger name on the market than Ben Johnson?
Yeah, he would have been the biggest name. I don't think there's any. At least you know he can coach. At least you know he can run a program. Ben Johnson, and again, he might be successful, and he's a brilliant dude, and he's a young guy, but we don't know. But Matt LaFleur would have got hired immediately. I don't know if the Bears would have hired him, but I would think he'd be the biggest name out there. The other thing, too, is as I was thinking about it, as you were talking, I mean, maybe you go LaFleur over O'Connell simply because O'Connell has yet to win a playoff game, and LaFleur did. And you guys almost beat the Niners last year, too, which could have got you an NFC title appearance against the Lions. So
that would have been great.
That would have been amazing. It would have been
We all agree. We all agree on that one. Yeah, that would have been amazing. Jeffrey, you're 97.1 The Ticket, joining us. A couple quick other topics I wanted to hit with you. I know there's got to be pain in Michigan that Ohio State won the championship, but is there a little still can't beat Michigan, though. Is there a little bit of that going on?
All right, so we had like three of the worst days you could ever have, right? You lose the divisional game, yep. And then Ben Johnson, see you bye, Benedict Johnson's gone. And then like that same day, Ohio State beats Notre Dame for the national title. And by the way, nobody in Michigan wanted to watch that game because we hate both teams.
Right, right. Oh, absolutely.
Right. Yeah, most Michigan fans are like, well, fine. What we might have cheated with Connor Stallions, but we beat your ass 4 years in a row.
So nice,
you still can't beat us. And they also say, you're welcome, because obviously by us beating you, woke something up in Ryan Day, and they go on to win the national championship. So, yes, I think a lot of Michigan fans still take pride in the fact that the Buckeyes can't beat them, that the script has officially been flipped after so many years of losing to the Buckeyes. So, yes, I would say so. And the future for both teams seems pretty bright.
Yep. And real quick, the Pistons win 14 games last year. They are 22-21. They're the seventh seed in the East right now. Is anyone in Detroit paying attention to the Pistons right now?
Absolutely. It's good to see. Cunningham is turning into a bona fide superstar. Unfortunately, you lost Jaden Ivey for maybe the season with a broken leg and a freak accident. But no, listen, Detroit sports is kind of turning around a little bit until you realize that it all falls apart inevitably. I mean, the Red Wings stink, unfortunately, after firing their coach.
Yep.
The Pistons are better, but probably will get bounced in the playoffs if they make the playoffs. And the Lions are the big one, guys. I mean, people are walking around angry and depressed because, yet again, the Super Bowl dreams were crushed. But, yes, people, it's a nice Michigan State are pretty good, too, in basketball as well. So, yeah, but it's all about the Lions, as you guys know, and it's tough to get over.
Absolutely. Jeffrey, you're 97.1 The Ticket, former teammate here in Milwaukee. Jeff, thanks so much for taking the time today, and we will make sure to catch up periodically, check in about, that therapy session for the Lions fans during the offseason, just see how things are going. We'll talk to you soon.
Guys, thank you. By the way, my condolences for Bobby Uecker. What a gem that guy was. Unbelievable.
Oh, I mean, it's so sad, but even on the day of his passing last Thursday, there were so many smiles and so many tears of joy and laughter, because that's how he left us. He left us laughing. It was such a great energy here in Milwaukee.
I went back and watched his induction speech for the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
19 of the funniest moments.
It's must watch. Yes, it is.
It's amazing.
It really is. It's must watch. Jeff, thanks so much for taking the time. We'll catch up soon.
See you guys. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You bet, Jeff. That's Jeff Rieger, 97.1 The Ticket, former teammate here as well. And, of course, you know, he's not, like, literally everyone we talk to around the country, like, their last thing is like, oh, yeah, and by the way, our condolences for Uecker, because everyone loved him all over the country, everyone in the sports world, everyone in the entertainment world. But, you know, it's kind of not so bad to hear that the Lions fans are sad, you know?
Yeah, I don't. Is Connor Stallions on a short list to get head coaching or offensive coordinator jobs in Detroit or anything?
If he can do it from home and just video it. Right,
yeah, exactly. Figure out the signs for Green Bay.
Exactly. He was Jeff Rieger. Thanks again to him. 97 won the ticket in Detroit. When we come back, it's time for Thunder Watch here on the Mason Crosby Show on a Wednesday with no Mason with Tommy Wirtz, though. My name's Mitch Nelson. We're live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.